Good morning. Would you open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6? Numbers chapter 6, that's page 135 on your pew Bibles. It's the fourth book in the Bible too, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers, fourth book in your Bible. But before I read from God's Word this morning, I want to ask a question. And you don't have to answer it out loud, but does anyone know what a benediction is? Or what the purpose of a benediction is? So it's a benediction is what the elders would do at the end of each service. They will come up and read scripture or say a blessing upon the congregation before they're dismissed. So that's what's called the benediction, and it's an important part at the end of a church service, a worship service. So a benediction is simply this. It's a bestowal of blessing on God's people by God Himself at the end of a service. So as we look at the scriptures this morning in Numbers 6, we will see this is exactly what is going to be happening. I'm going to cover a variety of things in the text, but I'll go over a couple of different things. One being that we're going to see God's blessing on the people of Israel. We're going to see and go over why the benedictions at the end of the service are such a vital part of the worship service. And then thirdly, we're going to see how all these blessings that God is giving Israel is not just for them thousands of years ago, but it's for us today. So I'm super excited to share this scripture with you this morning. And as I looked back and thought, I'm like, yeah, this is one of those scriptures that is uplifting. So in the past we went over Ecclesiastes, which is saying, vanity, everything's vanity. And then I did an imprecatory psalm, which is, David praying cursing and judgment on the people. And then we had one where, talking about the Israelites' failure in the wilderness. And then the last one I preached on was war. But this one, brothers and sisters, this is focused on blessing and favor and peace. And I'm not saying that we can't find those in any of the other scriptures because they're all in there. But this is hyper-focused on blessing and favor and peace. So it's been my prayer in this preparation for this sermon that the church would leave encouraged and refreshed. So would you please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless the preaching and the teaching of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So not too long ago in 1979, this very portion of scripture that is known as the Aaronic blessing or the priestly benediction was found on the site of a burial cave that's called Ketef Hinnom. So that's what these two mini scrolls are called. They're called the Ketef Hinnom scrolls. They're just two little mini scrolls, only about an inch long, and it became one of the most important finds in biblical history. These two scrolls date back to the 7th century BC. So that's 7 centuries before Christ had come. That's almost 700 years before the birth of Christ. So when these two mini scrolls were discovered and unrolled, it took a couple years to unroll these little, they call them amulets. So scrolls, amulets. It took a couple years to unroll them. But when they opened it, they found the text that we just read, the Aaronic blessing, the priestly benediction. And it's important because that find, that archaeological discovery, was the oldest biblical text ever found to this day. So, and that's a long time ago. It's also the oldest extra-biblical reference to Yahweh, which is God's name, and you'd see it translated in English with the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But these two mini scrolls were carried around by men to read often, and the little amulets or the little scrolls, they had a little hole through it so they could put a string through, and they'd wear it around their neck and read it often. And what a blessing it is, brothers and sisters, to read this portion of Scripture over and over. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "Here is a benediction that can give all the time without being impoverished. Every heart may utter it, every letter may conclude with it, every day may begin with it, every night may be sanctified by it." D.L. Moody is saying that this text can be applied multiple times a day and every day throughout one's life. So you see that this benediction is not just an Old Testament idea. It's not just a self-created tradition in a church service. No, a benediction is a biblical blessing upon the children of God by God Himself. And today, in the context of the local church, it is through the elders that God's blessing or His benediction is given. Just like in the Scriptures, it says that Aaron and his sons were giving the benediction. So we can still ask, why do we do it today? Why do we still do benedictions at the end of every service? And I can give you two simple but sufficient reasons. And one is that it's biblical. That's pretty simple and easy to understand. It's biblical because it's shown as an example to us through the Old and New Testament. So we want to do what the Scripture tells us to do and the examples that they show also. And then the second reason is that it's a tremendous blessing to the congregation from the Lord Himself. So it's a tremendous blessing to the congregation from the Lord Himself. And I want to encourage you this morning and from here on out to pay close attention to the benedictions at the end of each service, to listen closely and receive the blessing of God. You can lift your hands and receive it, or just lift your heart. It doesn't matter, just as long as you receive it in faith. Because after all, the benediction is meant for you, the congregation. And I felt it necessary just to explain this, just for clarity's sake. And also, I believe that it will be even more beneficial to the congregation as we wait for God's blessing at the end of each service. Okay, now that has been established, let's look at the Scriptures today, this morning, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us on this venture. So would you guide your attention to verses 22 and 23 as I read it? And it's just two simple verses that give us the scene and the context for this portion of Scripture, so we can actually know what's going on. Starting in verse 22, it reads, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them.'" And it ends suddenly with the Lord getting ready to tell Moses what to say when blessing the people of Israel. And we know by the context of this event that it is between the Lord and Moses. Because of verse 22, it simply says, "The Lord spoke to Moses." And that's it. The Lord was not speaking to anyone else there. He wasn't speaking to Aaron. He wasn't speaking to his sons. He wasn't speaking to the people of Israel. The Lord is speaking to Moses. And I just want to emphasize that because I think it's important to see what God is doing here. Notice, brothers and sisters, how God is using His people to speak on His behalf. And just as Pastor Sam mentioned in the prayer, how God uses people. And that's one of the points this morning. So instead of God Himself directly speaking to the people of Israel, I think it's important because many people today claim that they hear directly from God. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't speak directly to someone, because we can very clearly see that He's speaking directly to Moses. But I am saying that God uses His people. Amen. I've heard many people in conversations say something like this. They would say, "Well, God has to give me a sign." And the problem is, when they say that, though, some are thinking that the skies need to open up and it needs to spell their full name and then say, "Repent and believe the gospel." And it has to be their full name, because if it was just their first name, then it might not actually have been to them. So we have this falsified idea of what a sign is. And then, you know, the sign could have just been that actually that God was sending them just a regular person, a Christian that's willing to share the gospel with them. That's a sign when you hear the gospel. The Bible's clear, brothers and sisters, that God's normal way of speaking to his people in the New Testament is by his people and his word. And there's a good example of this in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And how can they believe in the one in whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" So he's talking about how people can hear the gospel, how people can come to salvation. It's through God sending people to preach the word to them. And God uses his people to preach his word and to proclaim the gospel. And God uses everyday, ordinary people. And this reminds me of a story of a man who was on his rooftop because it was flooding. And he started praying to God for help. And then a rowboat came in and said, "Jump on and we'll save you." And he said, "No, I'm praying to God. He's going to save me." And then a motorboat comes by and says, "Come aboard and we're going to save you." And he said, "No, I have faith that God is going to save me." And so the motorboat went on, and then the helicopter came over top, and Ken might have been in there, and he dropped the rope down and said, "Grab a hold of the rope or you're going to drown." And the man replied, he said, "I have faith that God will save me." And then the waters rose over the rooftop, and the man drowned, and when he died, he went to heaven and he asked God. He said, "I had faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. And I don't understand why." And to this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" You see, brothers and sisters, that God uses people, everyday, ordinary people. It may not be the skies splitting open and spelling your name, but it may be a Christian asking you if you know what the Lord has done for guilty sinners. Or maybe God brings a Christian into someone's life to show them what Christianity actually looks like. The point is that God uses people in his providence to encourage and to comfort and to even bless his people, as we just read. So notice in the text, brothers and sisters, how many people in this message, how many people this message went through before it reached its appointed end, which the appointed end was to speak to the people of Israel. So it starts with God, who initiates the conversation. It says God spoke to Moses. So God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke to his sons. His sons spoke to the people of Israel. That's a lot of passing the message on, right? Yet that's exactly how the Lord chose to bless his people. And even today, this is one way God blesses us, by giving us fellow Christians to encourage us, by giving us benedictions at the end of every service. It's God's blessing to you. Have you turned from your sins and trusted wholly in Christ? Well, this blessing is for you, if you have. Amen. Are you being obedient to Christ and denying yourself? Well, praise the Lord, this blessing is for you. Have you come to the realization that there is no blessing apart from Christ? If you can say yes, then blessed are you like Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but our Father in heaven did. Amen. This blessing is for you. So take hold of it, whether you're young or you're old or rich or poor, it makes no difference. It's yours. How wonderful is it that this blessing is for you who are in Christ this morning? And as we come to my favorite portion of the text, and this is the priestly blessing, as it's called, but I like to call it God's blessing through priests. So we will now just see exactly what God's blessing is for his people. And remember that this isn't just for them, this is for you. And that this is a portion of Scripture that hymns and songs speak about. This is a blessing that was found on the two mini scrolls that are the oldest copies of Scripture ever found. So would you look at the first verse in this blessing with me? It's on verse 24. And it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Who here is glad to be blessed and kept by the Lord? Amen. Notice First, brothers and sisters, that it is the Lord himself who is doing the blessing and the keeping. It's not Moses, it's not Aaron or any of his sons who are speaking the word of God, but it is God himself doing the blessing. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I want to show you the result of this blessing. Instead of waiting to the end of the service, I'm just going to bring it out now. If you would look at verse 27, it says, So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. And I will bless them, says the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is why you should look forward to the benediction, to the preaching. This is why you should look forward to those things at the during the service. The benediction is like the Lord saying, and I will bless them. Not me, not the elders, not any other pastor or preacher, but you will be blessed by the Lord himself. Amen. We all want that, don't we? We want the divine blessing. We want the supernatural favor of God, right? Where the anthropomorphic eyes of God gaze continually on us with favor. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you, brothers and sisters. Just as Christ fed the 5,000 and still had leftovers to put in the basket, so too will it be with the blessing of the Lord. There's more than enough to go around. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This Christ eternally satisfies our souls. The Lord bless you, as the scripture says. Did you know that in Christ we are under the covenant of grace? That we are now, by the grace of God, under the covenant blessing and not the covenant curses. Are you in Christ this morning? Do you know and love him? Can you say, as the psalmist said, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. If not, if you still have yet to surrender, if you have yet to fully commit, if you have yet to taste and see that the Lord is good, then your trajectory is toward an eternal punishment or a Christless eternity. But there's always good news in Christ. There's still good news to proclaim. Your sins and your punishment was paid for by Christ on the cross if you repent and believe. Do you believe this? Here's your sign in the clouds moment with your name on it this morning. God does have a message for you and for all to take seriously, and this is it. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand to repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrestle with God if you must, but wrestle with him at the foot of the cross so that the blood may fall on you and you can sing a new song with all the saints that sing nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Say as Jacob did when he wrestled with God and he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Then and only then can you receive this blessing in number 6. As it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. I love this verse because we know we have a God who blesses and who keeps. And to the Christians in the building, are you thankful this morning that God keeps you?
Amen.
The keeper of the stars keeps his people. That alone is a blessing to thank God for today, saying, God, thank you for keeping me. I listened to a pastor who preached over this same text, and he said something so good that I couldn't say it better myself. So he said, do you think that Moses didn't know about God as a keeper? Of course he knew about God as a keeper. Moses knew all about God keeping him. He said he kept Moses in a basket, he kept him on the Nile, he kept him in the mountain, he kept him in the wilderness, he kept him at the Red Sea. Moses knew the Lord as a keeping God, and so should we, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
God knows how to keep that which belongs to him.
That's right.
God kept Isaac from being sacrificed, he kept David from Saul, he kept Daniel from the lion's den. He kept the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace. Jesus from Herod. He kept Joshua in a harlot's house. Paul from premature death. Peter in jail. And John at 100 years on the island of Patmos. And if God can keep them, brothers and sisters, God can keep you.
Amen.
Our God is a keeping God. The Lord bless you and keep you. Think about the scripture that says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. You're worth more than 1,000 sparrows, beloved, and God has kept and will keep you until the day of Christ. Be encouraged by the word of God, my friends. That's my hope and prayer in preparation for this sermon. Be encouraged by the word of God. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Did you hear that? Did you hear how the Father and the Son are keeping you? So the most powerful and the most high God says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Praise the Lord this morning that we have a keeping God. He has kept us even while we were still yet sinners. What makes you think he won't keep you now? He keeps us from the second death and eternal wrath and the punishment of our own sin because Christ has paid for it with his own blood. Amen. Receive the blessing in verse 24 that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And that's not all that the Lord says for the people of God. He keeps on going in this threefold blessing. Look at verse 25 with me. It says in verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The first description says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. This blessing has some imagery, you could say. It's God looking favorably upon his people. So it's the Lord's light shining on you while you're in a dark world. It's when Christ says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we all know that classic children's song that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So that light that shines, brothers and sisters, that light comes from God. Amen. Just like our righteousness does not come from ourselves, it comes from Christ. Just like our love does not begin from within, it begins with the Lord. It says we love because he first loved us. So that light shining on you, that also did not begin with you. But the Lord, as it says, the Lord made his face shine upon you. In 1 John chapter 1, it says this about God being light. It says, this is the message that we have heard and proclaim, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and wherever he looks with favor, his face shines. So receive God's blessing when he says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Moving on to the second and last description. In verse 25, it says, and be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Do you know what that describes, brothers and sisters? This describes how God handles those who are his. He handles them graciously. You could say that he handles them favorably. Does everyone know what the definition of grace is? The definition of grace is unmerited favor, which just means you did absolutely nothing to deserve it. Amen. That's what unmerited favor means. It's a free gift. It's like the presents under the tree that you know, it didn't cost you a thing. You didn't go out and search for it. You didn't work for it. You didn't go to the store and buy it, or you didn't wrap it. It was just given to you without an expectation of anything in return. And so it is with grace, my friends. By grace, you have been saved. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. It was my own personal study of this very word that helped me understand just how good God is to me and to all Christians. If you are a new believer, I want to encourage you to study this word, and I promise it will be great help to you. Grab a hold of this word, grace, as best as you can, and praise God for his graciousness. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, my friends. As we reach the last verse of this blessing, look at the beginning of verse 26 with me. It says, the Lord, in verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. This word countenance can be defined as facial expression, and some translations would actually say, the Lord lift up his face upon you. And just to give you a better grasp of this word, I want to give you a negative example. So, and that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 5. Don't turn there, but just listen to how the word countenance is used. And this is just the setting of where Cain gives his offering to the Lord, and it was not received. So listen to this. It says, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Translations would say his countenance fell, or his face fell, or his face was downcast, or he looked dejected. You see, this negative example of Cain in his anger says that his countenance fell. But that's not what the blessing of God is here, brothers and sisters. This blessing says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Countenance can be said as the expression appearing on the face of the Lord as he looks upon his people. Or you can call it the smile of God on those whom he has called and loved before the foundations of the world. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, brothers and sisters. When the final trumpet blows and the world will be judged, you who have trusted in Christ will be wearing the only robes that will allow you to stand on the day of judgment. You'll be covered in the righteous robes of our Savior, and the countenance of the Father will be lifted up as he looks at you and smiles. And just as a quick illustration, when you think of Judgment Day or the second coming, that when you stand before God and you're in his presence, you're either standing there naked or you're standing there clothed. And if you're standing there naked, all your sins, every lie, every thought, every deed, everything that has happened, all them sins will be punished because God is a just God. But if you're clothed in, as I said, the righteous robes of Christ, it's like Christ coming down as he did as a baby and living a perfect sinless life, born under the law, never sinning, never doing anything against the will of the Father, and then offering himself as a sacrifice. And when he rose from the dead, he took his robe off and he laid it on everyone who has faith in him.
Amen.
And listen to how the Lord himself is speaking to his people about the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord for his care over our souls this morning. Let's look at the last part of this blessing at the end of verse 26. It says, and give you peace. Simple. The Lord give you peace. Has the Lord given you peace, brothers and sisters? True peace. The blessing here is that the Lord will give you peace. The word for peace here is shalom, and it's words that Jewish people today even use when they greet each other. They say shalom, which pretty much means it's like saying peace be with you. It's not the stop and count to 10 because you're mad kind of peace. It's not the false peace that brews up in our hearts and deceives us. We think we can say, I'm at peace enough, then it'll be spoken into reality. Not that kind of peace, brothers and sisters. This says, the Lord give you peace. May it rain down from heaven and rest on every soul. The peace of God, the peace like a river that is calm and steady, peace that surpasses all understanding, peace that is given by the Prince of Peace himself. True and lasting peace that can only be found in Christ, and trusting what he has done and will continue to do, brothers and sisters. The Lord give you peace. As I bring this message to an end this morning, my hope and prayer is that this portion of Scripture overshadows our lives and encourages us, that the Lord would look on us with favor and compassion as we live on this side of eternity. And make no mistake about it, the blessing of God comes in the person of Christ. Forgiveness comes in the person of Christ. Mercy and grace comes in the person of Christ. Peace, like we just read, comes in the person of Christ. If you have yet to possess and treasure God's ultimate blessing to us, I can tell you where every Christian has been, and that is at the foot of the cross. Go there, pray there, repent there, believe right there. If you are in the building this morning and have yet to truly surrender and place your faith in Christ, then hear me out. Hear me out as a man who was once in your shoes, just like every other Christian. God has you here for a reason, and it's not by chance. And I want to urge you to seek the Lord while you still can, and just leave the non-Christian with three simple words. Seek the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, by your enabling spirit and grace, we pray that you would draw new souls into your kingdom right here in Aylesbury, that you would make them trophies of grace, that we can read the scriptures like this morning's and rejoice in the ultimate blessing of your Son and our Savior. Thank you for blessing us in this portion of scripture that you give us today. Thank you for sending us a Savior and a mighty Savior. He is, O God, for he came from your dwelling place, a dwelling place full of majesty and splendor and glory. And you sent him from your holy temple so that he could clothe himself in the flesh to be born under the law so that we might be saved. There is no greater debt that we owe you, Father. And yet even still, in your compassion and love for us in this very moment, you bestow blessing and favor upon your people. Help us to receive it and walk in it all the days of our lives. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.